I'd like to say good evening. Welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ in Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, saying welcome to this nationwide gospel evangelistic effort. Our speaker tonight from Electra, Texas, is Brother Jonathan Chevalier from the Eastside Church of Christ. His subject tonight is Only One Gospel, taken from Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. So grab your Bible, grab paper and pen, so that you can follow along with Brother Chevalier. So at this time, I present to you Brother Jonathan Chevalier.
Brother Flounder, thank you for that great introduction. Thanks to the host, Brother Brooks, to the co-host, Brother Wiggins, and Brother Child. It is an honor to be here this evening to deliver a message from God to my listening audience, preferably those that are not members of the Church of Christ. This lesson is for you this evening, and I hope that you are encouraged and that you are edified. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. God is good all of the time, and all of the time God is good. We in the Churches of Christ believe that the Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. I love the Apostle Paul, how he gives a charge to the young gospel preacher Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead, appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, the instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. We in the Churches of Christ, we have men praying, we have singing without the help of mechanical instruments of music. We take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We take up an offering. We have a preacher. We stick to the two posts. We stick to the pattern, Acts 2 and verse number 42, the apostles' doctrine, which was given to by Jesus Christ. So if you are listening today and you want to know about the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, that every word of the Bible is right, and that you must, to be a child of God, you must hear the word, you must believe in that word, you must repent of your sins, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, you must be willing to go down into the watery grave of baptism. I have a mighty fine topic this evening. The topic is Only One Gospel. I want you to turn with me to Galatians 1 and verses number 6 through number 11. Galatians 1 verses 6 and through 11. The Bible says, I marvel. That word marvel means a person's reaction to seeing God's supernatural power. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. That word pervert, it has a meaning to cause or to turn aside or away from what is good or true or morally right. But would pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse number 8, but through we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This is the first time Paul is talking about being accursed. So he's not only going to say it one time, but he's going to say it twice. Verse number 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Verse number 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? That's a question, because in my Bible it has a question mark. So you should ask yourself, do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, should I not be the servant of Christ? Verse number 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after Man, I want to say that again, that the gospel that you're supposed to preach is not supposed to be of man. Just remember the title, only one gospel. There's not two gospels. There's not three gospels. There's only one gospel. I want you to get for me Mark 7, verses number 7 and verse number 8. Mark chapter number 7, verses 7 through 8. And remember the title, only one gospel. Only one gospel. The Bible says in Mark 7 and verses 7 through 8, it says, how be it in vain? I want to use a word, how be it in counterfeit? Do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, the commandment of men, for laying aside the commandment of God? In this present 2022, we have some laying aside of the commandment of God. But ye hold the tradition of men. We got some brethren that are holding on to the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. We got to uphold to the doctrine. We got to keep in the doctrine. We have to follow Jesus's pattern that he gave to the apostles, and we must uphold to that doctrine which he preached and which he taught us to preach. I want you to get from me Matthew chapter number 15, verses 8 and verses number 9. Remember, only one gospel, as the apostle Paul is dealing with this in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 11. Matthew 15 and verses 8 through 9, the Bible says, this people, it's a particular kind of people. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. Have you ever ran into those people that they give you a lot of lip? Amen. Somebody ought to say amen this evening. These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain, but in counterfeit, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines. Notice that in the text of Matthew, it uses doctrines in the plural, meaning that it's more than one. It's not just one. It's more than one. It's plural. But teaching for the doctrines, the commandment of men. When we find ourselves today in the present 2020 following men rather than God, then something is wrong, because we ought to consult God in everything that we do. So that's a question that you need to ask yourself. Are you upholding to what God said? Are you sticking to the commandments of men? It's something about the Old Testament when we deal with the prophet Isaiah. And when I speak of the prophet Isaiah, I want you to go with me to Isaiah 29 and the verses number 13. I find myself that we could learn some things from the southern kingdom or Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel. We could learn something from Isaiah 29 and verses number 13. The Bible says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept or the commandment of men. And today we have a lot of brethren who are following the commandment of men. We could have learned some things from the book of Isaiah and the people of the tribe of Judah in the Old Testament. They didn't follow what God told them to do. They wanted to do their own thing. There's no different than what they did in Judah than what we are doing today, because we are doing our own thing. We're not following what the gospel says. We're not following what the doctrine says. We're not sticking to the pattern of the two posts of the apostles' doctrine. We have our own doctrine that we have created. But we need to consult God to make sure that everything that we're doing is lining up with what he said, not what you say, but what he says. I want you to turn with me to Luke
chapter number 6, and the verse is number 46. Luke chapter number 6, and the verse is 46. We got to see what the Lord has told us to do. Because sometimes in our churches, we following men and what men want, what men want to do in the church. But God told us some strict orders in Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 46. The Bible says, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Let me say that scripture again. "And why call me Lord and Lord and do not the things which I say?" Are we consulting God in the things that we do? Are we consulting God that he only had one gospel? Are we consulting God that he only has one doctrine that we must abide by? My years in the military and in the army, you couldn't just do what you wanted to do. Amen, somebody. You had strict guidance that you had to obey. You had people that were over you. I've been over this great country. I've been to the great state of Texas, where I was stationed at Fort Bliss. I've been to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where I was trained there for some years, and then I had some time at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where I reside at right now. But the difference in the military, no matter where you went, whether it be Tennessee or Texas or in Oklahoma, your job necessarily didn't change. You could fall into army equipment and nothing has changed because you have been taught one way. In the army, they have what they also call the Bible. We have some doctrines, some guidelines that you must go by in the army. But in the churches of Christ, we have the pattern. We have the blueprint, but we need to follow it. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, we need to follow the pattern. We need to stick to the two posts that was given unto us. Romans 1 and verse number 16. Everybody knows this passage, but to my listening audience that's not members of the Church of Christ, Romans 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed." I want to stop there. I think in the churches of Christ, we have come ashamed. Amen. We have come ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's his gospel. It's his cross. He died on his cross. Amen. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it." Amen. I want to put the emphasis on it. It meaning this word of God that we supposed to be reading on a daily parameter, "for it is the power." You ain't got no power. I don't have any power, but this word of God has all the power. It says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you wasn't a Jew, that means you was Greek. Amen. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to remember the title, Only One Gospel. Amen. Mark 16 and verses number 15. Mark 16 and verse number 15. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Amen. Mark 16 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, go." I want to stop at this word "go," because some of us in the Church of Christ, we don't want to go nowhere. Somebody ought to say amen at this time. We so confided in the four walls, amen. And I'm talking of the church. We so confided in those four walls that we never want to go out, amen. But that word "go," that's an action word. That means that you have to do something, amen. It says, "Go ye into all the world." Not just Lawton, Oklahoma, where I live at, but you must go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Some of us in the Church of Christ, we just want to preach to the people that's in the church that we attend to or the church that we go to. But it says, go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Now in this book of Mark, he used gospel as singular. He doesn't use it as plural. Amen. But preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to get for me 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 1 through 4. Remember the title, Only One Gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 1 through 4. We got to see what this word of God has to say about this only one gospel. Amen. We got to see what the word of God has to say about this only one gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, singular, not plural. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse number 2, by which also you are saved. You're only saved by the gospel. You're not saved by anything else. Amen. By which you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That means you must believe in counterfeit. Somebody ought to say amen. Verse number 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Remember the text, only one gospel. Galatians 1 verses 6 through number 11. Only one gospel. I want to bring up a text. I want you to turn to John 12 and verse number 32. And this one gospel that we're talking about, amen, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Jesus Christ, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 52 and chapter number 53, Jesus Christ died on his cross. He didn't just die, but he suffered. He suffered for you, and he suffered for me. They made a march up a hill called Calvary or Golgotha, the place of the skull. They beat him with a whip called the flagellum. And by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, you are healed. But by his stripes, he purchased his church. Amen. Somebody purchased his church. That means you got to follow what he says. Amen. But he purchased his church. His church is his bride. Amen. Which means that we have to follow what he tells us to do. But he carried his cross up Calvary after they beat him, tore his flesh up, marched up the hill. Thank goodness for Simon Cyrene, who carried his cross just a little bit. But they put him on the cross. They placed him in between two thieves. They nails in his left hand, nails in his right hand, nails in his feet. Remember, he's still in his flesh. He's still in his flesh. And he's up there. I've been to the Middle East. It's hot. It gets up to about 130. And the purpose of the crucifixion was for you to take your last breath. And my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, he's up on this cross. And he gets down to his last breath. They place a crown of thorns on my Savior's head. Remember, he's still in his flesh. And they place the crown of thorns on his head. And he's sweating blood. And he's sweating tears. My Lord, my Savior. John seen him come. He said, that's the one. He's spotless. He's blameless. He has no sin, but he's the sacrificial lamb. That he's the lamb led to the slaughter. And he's up there 6 hours suffering. My Lord, they spit on him. He didn't spit back. They fighting, but he ain't fighting back. You don't think he could have called down 10,000 angels? But he had to complete his father's will, and he's up there, and he gets down to his last breath. He gets down where he can't breathe anymore, and he's about to give up the ghost. And he says with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, Eli, let me sip up. Why hast thou forsaken me?" And he gives up the ghost. And the soldiers came by to make sure that he was dead. They pierced him in the side and outpoured out blood and water. Blood and water. And remember, he's still in his physical. But they put him in a borrowed tomb. And God, amen, somebody, God loosed him. He loosed him from the physical pains of death. And early, early Sunday morning, he rose with not just some power, not just a little power, but he woke up with all power in his hands, in heaven and in earth. That's why God, he said, "God, don't touch me now. I'm not in the physical. I'm in the spiritual. God can't deal with you in the physical. He can only deal with you in the spiritual." In the text, John 12 and verse number 32, John 12 and verse number 32, the Bible says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." All you got to do is put them on the cross. Some of our preachers today won't even put Jesus on the cross. It's a sad state of affairs when you think about that, or when you go through that in your mind. John 8 and verse number 21. John 8 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come." If you die in your sins, where I am, my friend, you cannot come. If my listening audience out there, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. To my listening audience out there, I want you to go with me to Romans 10 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And you must hear the word. You must believe it. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. Mark 16 and verse number 16. John 3 and verse number 16. Mark 16 and 16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. If I tell my son, 'Hey, son, I need you to go in your room, clean up your room, and clean up the bathroom, and then you will receive an allowance.' If he just cleans up his bathroom, he's not going to receive his allowance because he did not do what I told him to do." In Mark 16 and 16, I'm going to read it again. It says, "He that believeth and," I like that conjunction word right there, "and." That means there's something else that you have to do. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And repentance after hear, believe, and repent. Repent, Luke 13 and 3. "Except a man repent, he shall likewise perish." I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. In Matthew 10 and verse number 32 and verses number 33, you must confess. Amen. There must be a confession. "I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God." And his confession brought death, brought shame that no man should ever have to go through. And after your confession, you must be willing to go down into the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Mark 16 and 16, Acts 2 and verse number 38, they said, "Sirs, brethren, what shall we do?" After Peter preached that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. They asked, "Sirs, what shall we do?" Peter responded, "Repent and," there's that conjunction word again, I like that "and," "repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." All in the New Testament, these conversions happen. Galatians 3 and verses number 26 through 27. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 21. Revelation 1 and verse number 5. You must be willing to go down into the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. In Revelation 2 and verse number 10, it says, "Be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Wouldn't it be a great day to be at the judgment day and to hear, just like Paul said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I will give thee the crown of life. You have heard today only one gospel. We must follow that one gospel. We must follow the two posts. We must follow the pattern, Acts 2 and verse number 42, the apostles' doctrine. So my brothers, thank you, Brother Flunder, Brother Brooks, Brother Wiggins, and Brother Stroud. May the Lord bless and he keep you. I'd like to turn it over to the brothers.